It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Do you think it's the responsibility of the federal government to make sure all Americans have health care coverage? Well, if you do, you find yourself in the company of the majority of Americans, but just barely. That's according to a recent Pew Research poll. Overall, 53% of Americans say the federal government should make sure all Americans have health care coverage. 44% say the government does not have this responsibility. And as with so many issues, there is a sharp partisan divide on this question. 8 in 10 Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents, 81% say the federal government has that responsibility of making sure Americans have health care coverage. A similar share, it's really a mirror image, Republicans and Republican-leaners, 77% say the government does not have this responsibility. Now, those who say the government is responsible for making sure all Americans have health care coverage are divided over how health insurance should be provided. There are some, a chunk of them, want this single national government program. About a quarter of the respondents say that universal health care should be provided by this mix of private insurance companies and government programs. This half hour, my guest is Dr. Peter Cram. He's been a physician, a policy researcher, and a patient both here in the U.S. and in Canada, in their healthcare system. He joins us this half hour. Dr. Cram, welcome to our program.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's really great to be on Iowa Public Radio.
So good to have you, and thank you for reaching out to me some weeks ago, because in your experience, you combine the perfect guest to kind of compare us to a Medicare for all type of environment, and we'll get to that. I want to mention that you are a professor, now a professor of medicine at the University of Toronto, also director for general internal medicine and geriatrics for University Health Network and Sinai Health System there. But from 2002 to 2013, you worked at the University of Iowa. You moved up through those years, ending as a professor at the University of Iowa College of Carver College of Medicine. You also served as director of the UI's Division of General Medicine. You've been there in Toronto for 6 years. So we're going to lay this out in the next 20 minutes. We want to compare our two healthcare systems in these our two countries. Also talk about this idea of Medicare for all, what that means, your thoughts on that. And then perhaps you can give us some advice on good questions to ask the candidates who are crisscrossing the state here in the next few weeks, as healthcare is one of our top issues. Let's start, if we could, Dr. Cram, with comparing Canada and U.S. In terms of sort of broad brushstrokes, how the systems compare.
Yeah. So, you know, I moved up here to the University of Toronto in January 2014, and I knew a lot about the Canadian system before I moved. I'd sort of educated myself, but still boots on the ground. It's a lot different than what you can read about. So the Canadian healthcare system, it's important to understand, it's a provincial system, so meaning that there's not a single national health care system. It differs whether you're in British Columbia on the west or out in the Maritimes in the east or in Ontario where I am. Mm-hmm. Each province can adjust or tailor the system a bit, but generally about 99% of residents of Canada are covered by their province's insurance plan, and it's basically all legal residents. So legal is obviously an important qualifier there, because if you lack certain basic credentials, then you would not be given insurance by your province. But about 99% of Canadian residents have insurance through their province, and that means identical insurance for everybody. So Canada differs from, say, England or Netherlands or France, or certainly the United States. There's no private health care to speak of in Canada. So in Germany or France, if you were to take one of those systems and graft it onto the U.S., there basically is a public system and then a private system. And if you pay more, you can get into the private system. In Canada, we really only have a public system.
Mm-hmm. And the same as Germany. I lived in Germany for 11 years. The same thing. You had the public option, but you could also get private privately insured, as you mentioned, in those other countries. So in Canada, when you say everybody gets the same level, you can't jump up a level and get, you know, insurance that gives you, say, a private room?
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's a controversial topic up here. So there is a very conscious and it is a cultural, a foundational belief that that everybody should be in this together, and that means whether you are a billionaire in Silicon Valley, or the person just making ends meet working at Walmart, you're all getting the same insurance coverage. Now, to tease that out a little bit, that's not to say that those two people are getting identical care. So we know that from anecdote, as a practicing physician, that if you are wealthy in Canada, if you are privileged, you do sort of sometimes get earlier access to certain types of treatment. You might get a slightly better room. In fact, I think Mark Cuban got in trouble for saying this on Twitter. He said something along the lines of, we all know that if you're on the board of directors at a hospital in Canada, you get slightly better care. And that sort of created a bit of a storm, but there is a bit of truth in that. Mm. But generally speaking, the care is similar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you said 99% of Canadians are covered. The 1% who are not, who are they?
Yeah, so those would be, you know, people who truly are, you know, in the country without any sort of documentation, and they're small numbers of people like that. It's a much smaller number, obviously, than in the United States, but you have to get into the Canadian system, you have to show up basically akin to getting a library card or a driver's license and provide some basic documentation. So there are small numbers of people who can't provide that documentation, mm-hmm. and they would not be eligible for their provincial system. But it's, again, 1% or even less.
With the Affordable Care Act and now the work that this president administration has done against Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, I'm not sure about how many Americans are uninsured here. What percentage of our population, do you have a rough idea, is as to compare?
Yeah, I think people talk about something in the lines of 8 to 10% are uninsured in the U.S., and you know that's creeping upward as you know the Affordable Care Act faces continued headwinds.
Mm-hmm. And it used to be much higher before the Affordable Care Act.
It was higher before. I think it was lower, you know, three, four, five years ago, and now is creeping back up. But I think it's in the 8 to 10% range, which is, you know, people talk about something like 30 plus million Americans.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to join our conversation, Dr. Peter Cram is my guest this half hour, professor of medicine at the University of Toronto. But interestingly, he worked over a decade in Iowa at the University of Iowa and has experience as a physician, a policy researcher, also a patient, both in the U.S. and where he lives now and has for about 6 years in Canada, in Ontario. What do Canadians think of their system? How satisfied are they not everybody's going to be satisfied with everything about a system. How do Canadians feel about it generally?
So, you know, so a colleague of mine, Alan Detsky, published an editorial about, you know, a year ago that I think summed up this was in a medical journal, but he, I think, very succinctly said, satisfied enough with the status quo. And what I mean by that is the Canadian healthcare system it has some holes in it. It has some challenges. I think that Canadians are generally reasonably satisfied, you know, it's also a source of deep national pride to sort of say that everybody is covered and sort of the issues of equity. And we, you know, look at what's going on in the United States and feel really good about it. But that doesn't mean that everything is in order up here.
Mm-hmm. What do Canadians think about the U.S. healthcare system?
Well, so I think that Canadians, feel very fortunate and proud when compared to sort of, what's going on in the United States, to say again that virtually all of us have health insurance. I think that the challenge is there are areas where the Canadian system falls short. So let me sort of lay a couple of those out. Number one, our tax rate is, much higher than yours in Iowa. Our marginal tax rate is, well north of 50%. Canadian hospitals are quite stark when compared to sort of some of the luxury and the accoutrements, seen in some of the luxurious and quite, very nice U.S. hospitals. So there's not investment in the physical plant. That means that patients often don't have private rooms. In fact, a majority of patients don't have private rooms. That has some implication for, say, control of sort of infection between patients, because we again can't put all of the patients in private rooms who we'd like. It has implications for privacy. We have, at times patients who die in, 3, 4, and 5-person rooms without sort of the privacy that we would like to give them. There are wait times and queues. If you need emergent care in Canada, I don't think there's any argument you get it. But if somebody needs something that's not a true life-threatening emergency, the wait times can be quite long. And then also, our healthcare does not provide, despite sort of high taxes, we don't actually have a universal pharmacare. So medications are not covered for all Canadians, despite what we're spending, nor dental care, nor vision care. So there are holes even in our system. There are things that aren't covered.
Here in the U.S., of course, from being here and doing your research that many, many millions of Americans have faced financial hardship because of medical costs. In fact, some research I did this morning showed that about 137 million Americans have faced financial hardship because of medical costs. High healthcare bills are the number one reason people would consider taking money out of their retirement accounts, filing for bankruptcy. This is according to TD Ameritrade. Does that happen in Canada?
Yeah, so that's a really, fascinating juxtaposition. So one of the ways I sort of explain this to friends and family and my parents and my siblings who still all live in the States. So if you were in the top 5% in the United States, you're getting, Mercedes or Tesla, whatever Ferrari quality care. So you're going to get the care you want when you want, and even if you get ill, you probably have the financial means and resources to cover the considerable co-payments that come from whether you're going to the University of Iowa or the Mayo Clinic or wherever you're going. So that's if you're really wealthy. If you're in the, next, say, 50%, you're working, you're reasonably comfortable, but if you become and you can afford the day-to-day prescriptions that you're taking, but if you have a catastrophic illness and get a $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 bill, you're in trouble. And of course, then if you're sort of below that, you might have trouble paying for your medications, your doctor visits, you might be on Medicaid, and you might have trouble getting access to care, even care for, say, chronic conditions like diabetes or hypertension might become difficult for you because you're just don't have the financial resources. If you're to flip that around and look at Canada, so again, if you're in the top, Mark Cuban 1%, you can fly to the United States, you can go to the Mayo Clinic or the Cleveland Clinic for your treatment. If you're, somewhere quite wealthy but really not going to be doing that, all the way down to sort of lower income Canadians, you're going to get sort of the standard care provided in your province. If you're in Manitoba or British Columbia or Alberta, you get the same care. That doesn't mean you have sort of drug coverage, but you do have that comfort. Now, you know, the other side of it is that in both countries, and again, this is embarrassing that I didn't think about this or realize this, you know, years ago, just because you have health care doesn't mean that, you know, if you get really sick or become chronically ill, you don't lose your job in Canada and suffer financial hardship. And in fact, there is some data to say that, you know, you have the same problems there as you would in the United States.
Mm-hmm. We have less than 10 minutes, Dr. Cram. The time is slipping away from us very quickly. I wanted to make sure we get to the two other points for sure as we do this comparison between Canada and the U.S. in healthcare systems. Let's get your thoughts on what we toss around here a lot recently, Medicare for All, and how that compares with what you have in Canada. Our Medicare has been around since 1965. It's the government-run health insurance program that covers all Americans 65 and older. It's funded by taxpayers. This is a portion taken out of our paychecks for Social Security. It goes toward Medicare to cover services like hospital stays and doctor visits. But people on Medicare can also choose to get additional coverage from Medicare-approved private insurers. Compare, now the proponents of Medicare for All want to expand this program to cover more than just Americans 65 or older. Does Medicare for All, this system, compare with what you have in Canada, would you say?
I think in some ways it does. The one thing that differs in Canada is that the provinces in Canada limit through a variety of mechanisms their spending. So Medicare is like a wide open spigot. So there is very little that the Medicare program does to limit knee replacements, back surgery, heart surgery, the number of those procedures being done. Medicare doesn't do much to control them. As a cost control method in Canada, it's not just that you get insurance. There also are limits that the provinces put in place to control their spending.
Mm.
So there are that's an important difference.
Mm-hmm. We have about 5 minutes left. When you listen to, I don't know how much you're listening in on our campaign coverage here in the U.S., but certainly some of it is reported there in Canada. When you Medicare for All is thrown out, what are you hearing that makes sense and doesn't from the candidates?
So what makes sense to me is getting everybody covered. I think that's important. I think it's noteworthy, and I think it's worthwhile. What doesn't make sense to me is the lack of discussion about the trade-offs.
Mm, tell me what you mean by trade-offs.
So, number one, probably there would have to be some method of cost control. So that would mean limiting the quantity of services provided. Not everybody is going to get everything. Some people will not get what they wanted. The second is sort of that, you know, this probably means less money for doctors, less money for hospitals, probably wouldn't see the luxury that that people are used to. Now, people, when I say that, say, well, our hospitals aren't luxurious already. I'm telling you, as you know, somebody sort of working in a single payer system, there's degrees of luxury, mm-hmm. and compared to sort of here, they're pretty nice.
Okay, so you're very Spartan up there north of the border.
Pretty Spartan, yeah, pretty Spartan.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is perhaps our candidates are just not being frank with us about what it would take to cover everybody.
Yeah, you know, I tend to believe that the public can handle the truth. And I think that, you know, people understand there's no free lunch, or at least Iowans, I think, do. And, you know, I think that that's something that should be part of the conversation. Talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Cram, before we go, I'd like you to arm us here in Iowa, all the listeners to Iowa Public Radio right now. What are the questions you think need to be asked of candidates to clarify their positions on health care? What are the ones that go right to the heart of the matter as far as you're concerned?
So I think one that some people are already asking is, how are you going to pay for this?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what do you see as the trade-offs? Are you going to have to limit access, quantity, reduce prices? What are your cost control measures? Which gets back to how are you going to pay for this? I really view this as trade-offs and compromises. I think universal health coverage is worth doing, but I think there's no free lunch.
Mm-hmm. You also know American culture. Looking into the future, what healthcare scenarios do you see as possible, given our culture, our history of healthcare, and where we are now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, you know, this has been published. You guys are a lot closer to Germany, to France, to England, with sort of a mixed public-private partnership than sort of the Canadian single-payer system. Canada, we're really sort of actually a rare bird.
Mm, okay, so any idea? I mean, getting our system. So what you're saying is that we're more likely to go in the direction of France or Germany than we are to Canada.
So right. System. So a Medicare as an option, as a, you know, as perhaps a bare bones option for everybody, maybe with some payment required by people sort of with a certain income threshold so that they have some level of coverage, and then allowing patients to people to continue in their private insurance or purchase their private insurance to avoid sort of some of the more draconian changes that some people are sort of up in arms about.
Mm-hmm. And finally, a very basic question just to round off our conversation. Canadians spend less on health care, but our life expectancy is about the same, right?
Yeah, so that's actually one of the, you know, really interesting things. So we spend less on healthcare here, and we live about as long, which then says, you know, that spending in the U.S. probably could be ratcheted down. Potentially coverage could be expanded, and, you know, but it's a bit of a juggling act, and it'll take some compromises on everybody's part, I think.
Okay, very good. This has been very valuable. Dr.
Yeah.
Peter Cram, thank you so much. We've run out of time. We appreciate you joining us from Toronto, professor of medicine at the University of Toronto, formerly of the University of Iowa for more than 10 years. Dr. Cram, thank you for getting in touch, and this has been so, so very valuable.
Well, thanks for having me. Go Hawkeyes.
All right. Coming up after a short break, a conversation with New York Times bestselling author Peter Bergen. He has a new book out. It's called Trump and His Generals. It lays out the case of how Donald Trump's dysfunction has made America less safe, according to Peter Bergen. Very interesting conversation coming up with Peter Bergen, New York Times bestselling author. We hope you'll stay with us. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.